It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Someone has said, in order to finish well, you need to start well. Well, you may be a new Christian, and you just don't know where to go to from here. Or maybe you're an older Christian. I mean, maybe you've been saved for a while, and maybe you're wondering as well, what's next? Well, I know I'm saved, but what do I do because I am saved? Well, Jesus prayed for you. He prayed for you that God the Father would keep you saved, and He does. In John chapter 17, we actually read where the Lord is speaking to the Father in heaven. He's actually praying for us. He's praying for those people who have believed on Him then, and He's praying for us today. In those verses, in John 17, verses 11 through 20, Jesus says this, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Whose that Thou gavest Me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have My joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent Me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word." Now you can also read Romans chapter 8 and verses 34 through 39, and you'll read there that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. Well, can we believe what Jesus said and what He says today in His word? Well, of course we can. He prayed to the Father that we would be kept by His power, that those who believed on Him during the time He walked on this earth, that they would be kept. And He says in verse 20 of John 17, "Neither pray I for these alone," that's those who got saved while He was here. He also prayed and said, "But for them also which shall believe on Me through their word." What word? The word of God. God used these men to write down, to pin down the inspired word of God. And we are saved through the word of God by believing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're saved and we're kept by the power of God. Now, you've already started well by trusting Jesus to save you. And now you need to finish well by letting Him guide you and direct you through His word. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Well, how do you get started right and finish well? Well, I've already mentioned that you've been saved. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, you've already started right. But now you need to finish well. The first thing that I would say to you is this: forget the past. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "Brethren," this is Paul the Apostle speaking, "brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Remember this, you cannot change the past. That's over with. You can look forward to the future, and you can work now for the Lord, not to be saved, but because you are saved. Now, I would say first, forget the past, and secondly, maintain fellowship with God. We see that the way to maintain the fellowship with God, that fellowship with God, is through prayer. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." We need to have a prayer life as saved people. We need to talk to our Heavenly Father. And I would remind you that He's not everybody's Heavenly Father. It's only those people who have trusted His Son, Jesus, as Savior. They are the only ones who can say, "Father, which art in heaven." First, we see that you need to forget the past. Then, you need to maintain fellowship with God through prayer. And then, through Bible study. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, it says, the first part of these verses says this, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." We stay close to God through prayer and Bible study. We're to study the Word of God to grow strong. We're to pray to our Heavenly Father to have heavenly communion. And as we think of this, heaven is only a prayer from us. Heaven is with us as we pray to the Lord. Forget the past. Maintain fellowship with God. And then focus on the goal. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now this, if you would, note that about those verses, about the verses, Paul is not reaching for salvation or trying to stay saved. Paul is working, doing everything he can to please God because he is saved. The goal is to serve God until we go to be with Him. Forget the past. Maintain fellowship with God. Focus on the goal. And then maintain fellowship with other believers. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says this, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Exhorting, in this verse, means to build up, to encourage each other. We need to have fellowship with other believers so that we can encourage each other daily. And we do that by our next point I'm going to share with you. And that's by joining a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Forget the past. Maintain fellowship with God. Focus on the goal. Maintain fellowship with other believers. And then join a Bible-believing local church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 says this, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And then we see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, it says, "Praising God," these are the people that they were in one place in one accord, "they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And we've already read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, where it says that we're to be with other believers, and we're not to forsake that, and we do not forsake that by being in the house of God, into a local church. And might I say this, do not join a church just because it's handy. In other words, close to where you live. Do not join a church just because your aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, mom, and dad have gone to that church for 100 years. If the church your relatives go to preaches saved by grace and not by works, then that is more than likely a good church to belong to. But just because a relative has gone to a church for years doesn't make that a good church. Remember, it needs to be a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And also remember this. Romans chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says that we're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you can also read Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 in connection with those verses. Well, join a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching, the blood of Jesus saved church. A good way to find a good church would probably be to ask the person who led you to the Lord. And then I see, after we join a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, then I believe that baptism is in order. By immersion. Complete submersion. Baptism is one of the first things you should do, if physically possible, to let people know you have been saved. Baptism is an ordinance of God, not a sacrament. There is no sacrifice or sacrament, in other words, involved in being baptized. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Being baptized does not save you, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. That says you were saved before you got baptized. The people gladly received the word. They were saved and then were baptized. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You're saved through the word of God. Well, after a person gets saved, they need to be baptized. And I remind you once again that baptism does not save a person. Baptism is a way of identifying ourselves with Jesus. Just as Jesus was crucified, when we stand in the water, we are acknowledging the crucifixion of Christ. Just as Christ was buried, when we go down into the water, we are buried in the likeness of Christ's burial. When we come up out of the water, just as Christ was resurrected from the dead, we are identifying that we too have been resurrected to new life through the life of Christ. Well, I see after baptism, we should observe the Lord's Supper. This is communion. Communion is an ordinance of God. It is not a sacrament. In other words, no sacrifice. No sacrifice, no sacrament is taking place during the observance of the Lord's table. Well, the Lord's Supper, or communion, is only for believers. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper does not save a person. We are told by Jesus in Mark chapter 14 and verse 22 and Luke chapter 22 and verse 20 to observe this ordinance because we are saved. There is no saving power in the elements, the bread and the juice of the Lord's Supper. Once again, we take communion, the Lord's Supper, because this is what the Lord wants us to do. In fact, the Bible says we are to observe this ordinance of the Lord's Supper until he returns. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26 says this, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, and this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." What I have spoken to you about are actually a few basic things concerning Bible teaching. As you grow in the Lord, you will learn more teachings from the Word of God. And if I can be of help to you, be sure and go to our website, lrwm.org, send me an email, and I'll be glad to work with you and help you to know more about the Christian life. And in fact, if you do not know him as your Savior, the Bible says to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God or the children of God, to as many as believe on him. And the Bible goes on to say in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you will ask Jesus, turn and ask him, "Lord, save me. I know I can't save myself. I believe you are Jesus. You are God. You died on the cross. You were buried. You rose from the dead. You shed your blood for me." Ask him to come into your heart today, and he will save you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.